Blog Talk Radio.
Host Merle Exit. Well, it's in New York City. It's cloudy. It was raining. I think it stopped. It's about 50 degrees outside, which is, I guess, depending on where you are, that's good or bad. Let's see. So what we got today? Well, you know, there's restaurants. They got them, you know, located in hotels. And they don't really have the best reputation, you know, because they, you know, they, especially with chains of hotels, they tend to have, like, so-so food. Well, I found a place, actually, in Tarrytown. It's a Double Tree by Hilton in Tarrytown. And this is one of those, really a fine dining place. It's called Bistro Z. And executive chef Craig Leonard is the one who runs the place and has all of the ideas. But what we're going to be doing is talking with the sous chef, Ariel. Yep, because she's the one who's basically prepping everything or telling everybody how to prep. And, you know, she knows what's going on. Like, that's, I call that second to the executive chef. Now, also, Well, you know, I take my the rubber chickens with me sometimes, or they go on their own. Apparently, they've been running around different places I haven't been, and but they were with me when I went up to the Double Tree Hilton Hotel. So anyway, so we're waiting for Ariel to call in, but while we are doing that. I got sponsors, and it's perfect that one right after the other. So here we go, Drew, everybody. Go ahead, Drew, and let's here it goes.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Yes, and you can get these wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com. And they also have been making cookies. They came out with these chocolate chip cookies that sometimes I like even better than the brownies. Well, you know, they're not as rich as the brownies, you know, so. But, and of course, if you're going to have cookies, then you have to have...
Hey, Martha, why did it smile? I was just thinking, I'm here at Ronnie Brook Farms eating delicious grass, not being injected with some synthetic hormones. I just gave birth to another cutie calf and don't even have to deal with any bull. I hear you, Mar. You know what they call cows that can't give milk? No, what, Sal? Utter failure. So, where is our big daddy Ronnie? Probably somewhere exercising, doing yogurt. At Ronniebrook Farms, you'll find the best of dairy products. Our milks vary in butterfat from nonfat to heavy cream. Enjoy the creamy yogurts from the cup or one that you can simply drink with the best of culture without artificial thickeners or additives. We don't have sour cream. We do have creme fraiche. Butter is better when you can choose cinnamon toast to spread on bread or pancakes. And since we scream for ice cream any time of year, you'll love our 16% butterfat. Do you remember getting bottled milk delivered, opening it to find the cream on the top? That is how you'll find our sweet-tasting cream-lined milk. I'll hand it to you, Sal. Our milk may get past your eyes, but certainly not homogenized. Ronniebrook Farms, where cows always seem to be in a good mood. Check us out at www.ronniebrook.com.
I have to get some of this milk. Because I ran out. Fresh Direct, and I went online, and their website did something and made me, I wound up clicking a different milk. And it does make a difference. Really does. But anyhow, so before I play a song, I'm still, communication. Okay, I won't even get into that part. Why? But one of the things that, because I had noticed something at DoubleTree that I wanted to pass on, because this should be noted any time, like when you're at a hotel, which has to do with the security issues. Firstly, when you're checking into a hotel, when the person behind the desk hands you your key, they are allowed out loud to say something like, you're on the 7th floor. But they are not allowed to vocalize the room number. That's because you never know who's nearby, and especially seeing you. And let's say if you're a single woman and somebody overhears and they know your room, et cetera, and whatever. That's a no-no. But the second no-no also is when you're going, let's say you go into your room and the bellhop, brings in your luggage, the door is not allowed to close behind, even yet using the latch. It must stay open using one of those rubber stoppers, door stoppers. The same goes for, let's say if you have you have a problem with your TV and you call and they come up to fix it, the same thing. The staff is not allowed to be in there and allow the door to totally close. These are security breaches. So just watch for those things when you're at any hotel. One of the things that I'm checking into, a very interesting thing because of having a situation with mobility, is with hotels, and do they have to have accessible rooms? How many do they have to have? Do they have to have, in terms of accessible rooms, having roll-in showers? And, of course, if you have a roll-in shower, is there some kind of either attached or portable chair to sit on? Because I was trying to figure out, okay, if you have a roll-in shower, that means someone with a wheelchair can get into the shower, but then you're not sitting on the wheelchair to take a shower, so then what happens? You know, that kind of thing. So, you know, if that's some issue, or you just basically have trouble, you know, standing, or people starting to have trouble just hauling their legs over the tub to get into the tub. Yeah, things like that. Those are things you can check for. Well, I don't know what's happening with the caller. I'm guessing the person that communicated to the caller did not the entire message of what that they're calling a phone number to call into the radio show. And they might be waiting for me. But yeah, I'll just let that person take the responsibility for that. In the meantime, let's play this song. This is the Isaacs singing a song that we've heard a while back.
Every generation blames the one before, and all of their frustrations come beating on your door. I know that I'm a prisoner to all my father held so dear. I know that I'm a hostage to all his hopes and fears. I just wish I could have told him in the living years. Crumpled bits of paper filled with imperfect thoughts, stilted conversation. I'm afraid that's all we've got. Just don't see it. He says it's perfect sin. He just can't get agreement in this present tense. We all talk a different language, talking in defense. Say it loud. Say
got our caller calling in. Yep, here we go. Ariel, is that you?
Yes, this is me. This is Ariel.
Hello. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Oh, good. Did you already cook up lunch there?
Yes, I cooked up some fish and chips today.
Oh, how do you make them? Just curious.
We do a beer batter, and then we season them with salt, pepper, some flour, put them in the fryer, and serve them with some tartar sauce and coleslaw.
Oh, okay. Let me. I'm just curious about that because I see things like beer batter. When are you just mixing flour and beer? Is that how they make a beer batter?
Basically, and then you put some eggs in it, and you want to make sure it's a nice beer, so it tastes good.
Hey, Merle,
oh.
It's Craig,
hi.
Too. How are you?
Oh, just great. Well, good, I got to both of you then.
Yep.
So let me just say, I just want to finish with this thing with the beer batter. So when you say, so it makes a difference what kind of beer you use when you do that?
Oh, yeah, we used a dark beer. We used a Captain Lawrence, which is a brewery from right here in the Hudson Valley. It's a nice dark. And we put capers in the batter, too, so when it fries, the capers, they stick and they kind of pop and they mellow out as it cooks, too, so it's not quite as salty.
Wow.
Yeah, and we use the Chilean sea bass too for the fish, which is a little bit on the fatty side, but it's such a great fish that it works out really well.
Oh my God! No one ever uses. People usually use cod or whatever kind of thing.
And yeah, when we clean the fish, you know, we buy it whole. So we take the tails that I'm not going to use for the steaks and everything. We go ahead and we cut them into strips, and we use it for fish and chips.
That's a fabulous idea. You probably have the best fish and chips going.
Yeah, best fish and chips going. We sell a ton of them.
Oh, my God. Now I got to come back just to have that.
Yeah, you have to come and join us for lunch this time.
And
yeah. Bring the chickens, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We heard about
this. Of course.
Ariel says she's going to cook them next time, though, so you better be careful.
By the way, in case you want to try something out, you can make a pizza dough with just flour and beer.
Is that right?
Yes. I went to this. They have these places. They had a place where the crust was very thin, and I said, well, you know, and they said all you use is flour and beer. So I tried that at home. You got to try that because I guess the beer, the yeast in the beer, is making it rise a little bit. Anyway, let's get to your stuff though. So
like a good idea.
Huh?
Sounds like a good idea.
All right, yeah, try it out. See if it, see what you can concoct on it with it. I think it's, I guess for the people that maybe because of the yeast that or they just want a thin crust. Not sure which one, but let's get to your place though. I have to wipe that piece of drool off the side of my mouth from talking about the. Fish and chips. Okay. So you tend to use local products in the with your menu, correct?
Yes.
How local is it? Because sometimes places define local being at least in the United States versus.
Well, it depends on what ingredients we're sourcing out, because we do have certain items that we have to keep on our menu, little fruits and things like that. Obviously, for hand fruits and stone fruits, we're able to get here in the Hudson Valley, but other fruits, pineapple, cantaloupe, and honeydew.
Oh, sure, yeah.
That's not coming from around here. Avocados, you know, now everything's available year-round. But as far as our seasonal menu changes that we use in the restaurant, we do source out local ingredients within a 30 to 50 mile radius, and we indicate it on the menu as well with stars exactly what ingredient is locally sourced. So it's about, I would say, 70% of our ingredients at the restaurant at any given time are locally sourced.
Well, just to give us an idea, because of like, okay, you're in Tarrytown, and what type of farms are available for you? Are you getting things like any meat?
Well, we use a company with the meat that they use. They purchase from New Jersey, actually. Their farm is based in New Jersey, and they carry all kinds of things. Excuse me.
It's okay.
Sorry about that. So some of our meat's locally sourced, and that primarily comes from New Jersey. And then everything else, we have a company we get our duck from that's right here in Hudson Valley. And then we use rabbit as well. We put rabbit on our restaurant week menu, and there's a rabbit farm that's right here in Hudson Valley as well that we use.
Oh, that's cool.
Things like that we can get. Not so much the beef. We can get pork around here, duck, and rabbit as well, and any poultry. But anything large, you know, that'll come from outside.
Well, how about, so in other words, it's a lot of, when in season, the produce is really.
Exactly. And then the fall's a great time. the summertime, the spring as well. The winter gets a little bit more difficult, but, you know, that just gives us an opportunity to be a little more creative.
Okay. So, Ariel, let's talk about, well, we want to get, like, so people know, what is a sous chef?
Yeah. Sorry, can you repeat the question again?
Oh, what is it? What is a sous chef?
A sous chef is like the chef that's underneath, like, the executive chef. So they, like, help come up with orders. They help come up with specials, watching the line. It's basically another eyes for the chef.
Okay. Are you doing any prepping as a sous chef?
Yes, I do soups, I do sauces, I do stocks, anything that, like, I can help out with, like, for the daily operation of the kitchen.
Oh, okay. And you said, do you come up with the ideas for the menu as well?
Yes, we all collaborate. There is another sous chef here, and we all go, like, in a room, and we'll come up with menu ideas and, like, fix what we think should be fixed. But yes, we do come up with the ideas for the menus.
Okay. By the way, who came up with the fish and chips thing?
That was me.
Oh, that's really brilliant. It really is.
The Chilean sea bass is actually very nice for a fish and chip.
Oh yeah, because it's for people who don't like fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Always so good, especially with beer batter.
Wow. That's really great. And lately, what stuff have you come up with?
I have come up with a halibut dish with, like, a risotto, and then with cauliflower puree. Tonight, we're actually running a veal tenderloin with butternut squash puree and port blackberry sauce.
Excuse me, let me get a napkin again. Okay.
Huh?
All right. I have to make sure I'm not leaning over my computer because I don't want any drool to get on the keyboard. Okay, so what I want to do is I want to go into the menu.
Okay.
Of what I had. I know you're not going to. I know I can, you know, I can pull up the menu, but you had some items, a couple of items that came out that you wanted me to try. Was it brie? Was that the one?
Yes, that's a baked brie cheese.
I have to tell you, it was really interesting because, like, I was kind of doing the, all right, Nancy, you can have the brie. I really don't.
Like brie or something, or what? Why
no,
not?
I normally don't like brie.
Oh.
And I said, all right, let me taste it. And I went, wow, it must make a difference on what kind of brie that I've had, because this.
Especially when you heat it up so it gets, like, that chill off of it. Any kind of cheese, like, especially, like, that kind of cheese, when you heat it up to get that, like, it doesn't have to be, like, hot, but it just has to be, like, slightly heated, it changes the flavor completely.
Oh. That's why. Because it didn't. That's really interesting, because it was like, let me have another taste. And this is, yeah, it's really good. I like this.
What did you think about the lingonberry paired with that?
That was so good.
Yeah,
oh,
lingonberry is a very, like, nice, like, garnish, especially for, like, any type of cheese. It's a very nice garnish.
How do you decide, like lingonberries? How do you decide versus another berry? Is
well,
it just like
trial and
it,
error? And you also want to, like, try out the menu and, like, taste it. And, like, lingonberry is a very popular, like, it's a lingonberry, like, jelly kind of thing. So
yeah.
It's very nice because it goes with a lot of different cheeses. And it's different.
You know, actually, this would be very interesting. They're doing this whole cheese event here in Queens on Saturday. And they have, I guess, a couple of companies from upstate New York are coming in with their cheeses. So it'll be interesting to see if the chefs are going to do something like what they'll pair it with.
Yeah, I was going to say, that would be awesome.
So at least now I know that it's interesting to hear that, because people commonly will have, you know, cheese that's, you know, refrigerated or whatever. They're having cheese and they have a glass of wine. And I guess to have it, the cheese, like, warm, and then have a lingonberry, like, sauce, or, you know, to pair it with.
Yeah,
actually,
they always say, like, cheeses are best served room temperature. Like, any type of cheese, you never
yeah.
want them very cold at all.
Oh, okay. I'll keep that in mind. I'm sure they're not going to be refrigerated Saturday. Yeah, Saturday night when they do this. Okay, so that's so. And I guess you're getting now the lingonberries. Are this something like the? Because are they in season now, or is it something like you have to, you know, that has to come from someplace else?
That actually has to come from someplace else. We actually get it in like a little jelly, and then we mix it up to like our perfection. So like we make sure that the flavor's on it, but we don't actually make the lingonberry jam.
Oh, okay. All right, so then there were two other things that also kind of threw me. First of all, I hate to say when I say these things because of, you know, when I go to other places and they go, but you said, you know, that makes it tough for me, you know what I mean? That was the best homemade lox I've ever had.
Oh, yeah, that's very good. That's such a nice, like, we salt crusted it. Well, we set it in salt and citrus overnight, and then we pull it off, and then we have to rinse it and then let it sit to dry out.
Yeah, because that, and the thing I had noticed, but it's not, it's the salt that's curing it, but it's not salty.
No, not at all, because we wiped it off, the salt.
It was just absolutely perfect. It was just, yes. It was like, no, you can't buy this at your store.
No, you definitely can't.
I'm going to figure out how you guys can ship some of it to me, really. I mean.
Yeah, well, let us know. We'll ship you some salt-cured salmon.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay, we'll get into that. I'll call you back later to do that. But, okay, so then the other thing, wow, I have to tell you, no one has ever done this, with the potatoes.
Which one? Oh, for the lamb?
When you're getting the three-colored potatoes instead of hash browns. Who came up with that?
That was actually Craig. He came up with that.
And I'm curious as to, like, how did he come up with this? No one has ever done that. What made him want to do that?
It's it was the one with the salmon, right? The tricolor potatoes with the salmon?
Well, or you get tricolor, which it just basically also, yeah, but it comes with breakfast.
Oh,
when you're having
okay.
breakfast.
The tricolor potatoes, they're awesome because just the, like, the presentation, it looks so much better than if you're going to just have, like, one color potato. Or, like, it just looks a lot more, like, to the eye. Because they always say, like, food, it's also your eyes, too. If a food doesn't look that nice, you're not going to eat a lot of it. But, like, when you have, like, all those different color potatoes, it just looks so much better.
Oh, but the taste was, like, what what I actually did because of what I did because of the potatoes. I ordered eggs over easy.
Oh, really? Wow, that's nice.
And no bread.
Oh,
so
wow.
So I could dip the potatoes into the yolk.
That's funny. No, it's just, he just came up with that, and, like, we just figured, like, it just looks so much better than, like, if you were to see red bush potatoes out on the buffet or something like that.
Right.
And we actually use tricolor potatoes for our salmon dish also at the nighttime menu.
Oh, okay.
And we wrote lemon zest.
Wow.
Yeah, those are great.
Okay. Wait, napkin. Okay. All right, those are the things, particularly now, let's go into doing a restaurant week thing. Who chooses the items?
That actually, if I'm not mistaken, it comes up by a board. A board tells you what you can and cannot put on your menu, and then we just, like, come up with the sides for it. So, like, the board, say, for instance, we had rabbit on our menu. The board of Restaurant Week tells us we have to have rabbit, we have to have a pork dish, and that then we come up with, like, what we want to go with the proteins.
Oh, so this is, I guess, normally with restaurant weeks, I guess, with any place.
Yeah.
That they have to go through, here's what we're going to be giving,
yep.
And they have to approve. Well, I didn't even know that.
And I guess maybe it's probably so you don't have duplicates, so, like, one place doesn't have, like, the same proteins as another place. I think maybe that's what helps it out.
Oh, okay. Tell people what rabbit tastes like.
Tell people. Oh, that's a tricky. I say rabbit tastes kind of like chicken. Not to be rude, but it has a different flavor to it. Like,
yeah.
For restaurant week, we did a rabbit pot pie, but we did, like, a whole grain, like, veloute in the pot pie, and we used puff pastry instead of pie dough. That sold so well on the menu.
Wow. I think I need to come back. I have to... what it is I was so impressed about is that that Bistro Z should be listed as a fine dining place, ignoring the fact that it's in a hotel.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we do come up with some very nice food items that go out, and we've had some very good, like, compliments about our food.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I just wanted to share that I was up in Quebec on a press trip, and out came this dish. And I thought I was having, looked like coq au vin, And then I nudged the person next to me from tourism. I said, what is it? She says, I coq au vin. Wait, let me ask, the waiter. And the waiter came over and he said, no, it's rabbit. And I thought it was. I had a feeling it wasn't chicken only because of the shape of the bones.
Yeah, like I said, it's pretty close to chicken, but it does have that different gamier flavor.
Yeah.
But if I were to tell somebody, like, what does it taste like, I say chicken, but you still have to try it because I love rabbit, personally.
Oh, yeah, I did enjoy it. A lot of, I see places that they make it, like, they'll make it just with the meat and make, things like that, instead of, you don't get to see the bones.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Okay. So, and were there any other items that were on there that you want to share about?
We actually did make our own fresh pasta with the rabbit. We did a rabbit ragu with pappardelle pasta. And we made that from scratch. Like, we rolled it. We had a pizza or a pasta roller here, and we by hand. And that was very nice.
Okay. Napkin. Okay.
And we also did a maple brined pork chop, which came out very nice. And that was served with a blackberry barbecue sauce and a sweet potato souffle.
Wow.
Is it making you hungry now?
Yes, it is. And it's, the problem is there's no place in my neighborhood to call out for.
No.
To say, please deliver. Please deliver this. well, also, then I also... they just wanted to let you know that they enjoyed it, too.
Oh, nice.
The chickens? The rubber chickens, yeah. That was what you heard. Okay. I have to interpret for them because, you know.
Oh, really?
Clucking. Yeah, because clucking, you know, like, you know, that's their language of just clucking, and you got to figure out what they're saying. But I got
they have some wine, too?
Oh, they had a little wine. I think that's why they were clucking a lot, too, when I got them, when they got home. Okay, so back to the regular menu. Let's see. I'm going to pull up because I, let's see, where did the holiday, okay. So what happened, I start getting, like, I think I write an article and publish it, and I went, no, I blogged the whole thing. I didn't get to write the putting it, publishing yet, but I have, now I have the article right in front of me, so I know all the things I had. Okay. Oh, I think that soup of the moment. Tell me about soup of the moment.
Now, which one did you have? Or did
you I didn't have, but most of people write soup of the day.
Oh, soup of the moment is basically like the same thing, soup of the day. We come up with daily soups, all different types of soups. It can range from butternut squash soup to fennel and sausage soup. It just depends on, like, what we have in house and what kind of soup we're in the mood to make, basically.
So is it that sometimes you run out of the soup and you'll make another one?
Basically, we will, like, if we need a soup right away, we'll just have one on the fire just going for the next
That's such a great idea.
Yeah.
Okay, so here, going into now the menu in terms of what I had. I had the fresh beets, the trio of baby beet salad, which now prompted me to buy baby beets.
Oh, really?
Store.
You like baby beets?
Well, I, you know what I grew up on? It's like the beets out of the can. You know, don't like them anymore.
Oh.
I stopped liking the beets out of the can, and I prefer to have, you know, like fresh beets. Boy, they're difficult to make, and they get all over your hands. So what I did is I bought baby beets. Of course, I'm not sure, like, should I peel them before or after I cook these things up? When you're roasting beets, how do you just roast them, like, with the skins on?
Yeah, you roast them with the skins on, and then you take the peels off when they come out of the oven. While they're still hot, don't let them cool.
Okay. Okay, while they're still, and you're going to burn your hands, no?
I mean, let them cool a little bit, but
just
you just want to... like, yes. Make sure they're still hot because the skin comes off a lot better when they're still hot. So they don't have to be, like, piping hot, like, right out of the oven, but you want to make sure that they're still sitting out just because, like, the skin comes right off. You'll just take, like, a little kitchen towel and just, like, scrape it, and the skin comes right off.
Oh. Yeah, what I wound up doing, actually, because I wasn't sure, I said, well, let me throw them, let me, you know, cook them, boil them instead.
I mean, boiling?
Well, here's what wound up happening. Because I boiled them, I said, oh, I don't want to waste all the beet juice that's come out of them. I hadn't even cut them up, but the beet juice was coming out. So now I said, okay, I can have borscht.
Ah, that's true. Or you know what you could do is you could reduce that juice down, and then you can make a nice sauce out of it.
Yeah, I was doing that. I was throwing it into some things that I was cooking later on a little bit. I said, well, I already have this. I got the sugar and some salt in it. So why don't I use this in cooking up? I was stir frying some beef. I said, yeah, let's put in a little of this. And then yesterday I said, I have a little more left over. It's still strong. So I added a little water to it, and then I threw in some sour cream. And I said, here's my borscht.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. That's such a good way to use the freaking, to use that liquid from the beets.
Yeah. Do you think, with the beets, do you think there's, in terms of taste, is there any difference with the color of the beets?
I personally think red beets have the best flavor, but it also depends on, like, how clean the beet is, because I've had some beets that taste like dirt, but then there's also some beets that, like, golden beets have a little lighter flavor.
Okay. Yeah, these come, it's like triple washed and whatever already in a little package. And you don't have to clean them. They're all clean for you. I went, oh, good. Anyway, all right, so that was one thing. Okay. Oh, the guacamole. Oh, yes.
I have
to tell you the thing I have about with guacamole with places. It's like one of the stores does guacamole, has fresh guacamole. Yeah, there's fresh and there's, yeah. Well, I thought something like the consistency of the avocado wasn't really, there was something that I didn't care about. And then I go online to find out you can actually purchase powdered avocado made from, yes.
Oh.
And it's made from Haas avocados, and they do whatever, and it's powdered. So
I would
people,
never buy that.
I
or use it.
Well, no, you wouldn't. But
no.
But there were places that's why I can tell. And they don't think I know. They don't think I know when I'm tasting it. People just think it's good. Okay, anyway. But that's why I would say, and it was perfect seasoning.
Oh, nice.
In the guacamole. Okay, now we get to, I got the brie, the lamb chops. What kind
of
chops?
Oh, yeah, you had the lamb chops, I forgot. You had the,
double loin?
Yeah, double loin, and you had the spinach and kale with it, the lamb jus, and then the butternut squash and potato gratin.
Yes. Oh, wow. By the way, it does really make a difference on the cut of lamb that you get.
Yeah, it does.
Would that be considered like the best cut, or?
Yeah, it's probably one of the best cuts you could get.
Okay. Then Nancy went for the beef tenderloin and grilled shrimp.
Did you eat that?
Is the tenderloin the same thing as having like the filet mignon, or
yes.
does not?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Thing. It's just the filet mignon is the cut, like when you cut it into individual portions, and then the tenderloin is the actual big cut, and you cut filet mignons out of the tenderloin.
Ah. Oh, okay. I got what you're saying. And the shrimp, when you're choosing shrimp, just offhandedly choosing shrimp, how do you decide it with so many different types of shrimp and, you know, tiger and where it comes from? How do you pick the shrimp? What makes you decide on it?
We do tiger shrimp.
Okay. Any particular reason?
Because it's one of the best, like, flavor, and it's all about, like, tasting and size, like, consistency. You always want, like, you can always tell, like, the tiger shrimp has, like, one of the best, like, tastes, and it's always coming in, like, the same size. We've never had problems with the tiger shrimp.
Okay, so in other words, you would recommend that if people want, like, you know, because it's when it's on sale and blah, 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 and all this, you know, if you really taste-wise and whatever, unless you, you know, I could tell, you know, when I'm eating shrimp, no matter what you do to disguise it, I can tell whether shrimp is fresh, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, people yeah, and we say, we put our shrimp in oil.
Oh.
Yes. When we clean it, we put it in oil, so it sits in oil, and shallots. So it gives
wow.
it, like, it marinates it.
I'll have to do that. I'll have to try that to see how that makes a difference. Wow. Okay. All right. Now, wait. I'm sorry. Back to the napkin. Okay.
And you have the napkin by the desk or something?
Yes, I have it here at the. I'm at the desk of my computer, and I
oh,
have a
really?
Napkin here because, you know.
You have to come back and eat here.
Yes.
You have to come take a picture.
I have that photo of the whole bunch of you, and I need like left to right kind of thing on who's who, but I think I put in like picking out who the two people that I was writing about. But anyway,
I think
but in
I'm
the main
the
photo
only girl
there,
in the picture.
But you're not in the main
Ryan.
Photo if you go online.
Oh, really? Where?
When they show you the group.
Oh, okay.
You're not in it. I need to have you in it. Any women who work. I have this whole thing about the thing with, you know, with the contests and stuff, and it's like I can always guess. The first one to leave is a woman. Oh, there she goes.
Okay.
And, and the thing that gets me crazy is they all talk about the same thing. All the guys are always saying that they learned from their mother or their grandmother. So I'm trying to figure out if that's what's going on. How come the women keep losing?
I don't know.
I think I think it did a lot of that is fixed, but that's beside the point. All right, let's get to dessert. Chocolate explosion. Oh,
wow. I love that.
Oh yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, we make that in house.
Oh, you do? So you're not making that, you know, there are places that they, I guess they sell the kit?
Yeah, no, we make it from scratch.
That's why it tasted so good. Do you use a particular chocolate when you're in the recipes, when you use chocolate?
Belgium chocolate. That's what we use in the recipe.
Is it
the best chocolate?
What's the company?
Sorry, I don't remember the company.
Because people are using. There seems to be a second Belgian chocolate that people are now using. They used to Calibo used to be that everybody was using Calibo for Belgian chocolate, but there seemed to be a second one, and people were using that instead. But I was just kind of curious, as I've been to chocolate shows. I'm a chocoholic.
I love chocolate, too. I personally like white chocolate better than dark.
Oh, you do?
Yep.
Fie on you. That's not chocolate.
I like white chocolate so much better.
Oh, okay. And then the cheesecake.
Oh, you had the cheesecake. That is one of my favorite things to make.
Nancy had the cheesecake. I'm sorry, you're going to have to send that. I'll get back with you. What I got to get here. But the cheesecake, you know, like, first of all, the fact that the bruleed it really did something with the pecans and being bruleed, meaning so people understand that you're using a torch.
Yeah, and we use sugar in the raw instead of actual sugar to brulee it.
Oh.
So it gives it a little different flavor to it.
Oh, okay. And I want to compliment you guys on that, because I'm also a cheesecake person. You know, like, you know, what people think is the best cheesecake and all this other stuff. And, you know, so I'm going, all right, let's see how good the cheesecake is. And I went, this is a good New York cheesecake.
Yeah.
This is right. This is what it should taste like. It was the perfect consistency, too.
No, I agree. I love I love making it here. And like I said, the brulee is, like, you never hear of somebody bruleeing cheesecake. Like, that's something, I think we're the only ones that do it. I don't see any other place that brulees the cheesecake, and it just gives it such that, like, different flavor to it.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of getting the best of creme brulee.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, so now, because I just went into basically what I had. You want to talk about a couple of other things that are on your menu that I hadn't discussed?
I mean, we can talk about the gnocchi on our menu. We have a fresh Parmesan gnocchi, and then we serve that with some wild mushrooms. So we'll do, like, oysters, shiitakes, like, whatever mushroom is like, best right now. And then we serve it with some butternut squash and sweet drop peppers, baby spinach, and a garlic white wine broth. That is to die for.
Oh my God.
Do you like gnocchi?
Well, if it's made right.
Yeah.
You know, and because sometimes you find it heavy, and sometimes it's like pillowy.
That's because they overworked it.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
Yep. When you overwork in gnocchi, it becomes, like, very, like, heavy, like, dense. You don't want, like, you want in gnocchi very light, which that's what we do here. We're always, like, you have to just be careful of overworking the gnocchi. That's basically what it comes down to.
Does it also matter of the ratio of the flour and the potato?
Yes, it does. And also, you don't want to overcook your potatoes either. That's another thing that will happen, is you can overcook the potatoes and then it gets gummy, and then that's what also can ruin the gnocchi.
Okay, so when you're combining the flour and the potatoes, rather than you're taking the potatoes and then dipping it into the flour. Am I right?
Yeah, that's basically what we're doing.
Okay. Yeah, that's...
Put some Parmesan cheese in it, too, inside the gnocchi.
Are you getting, mushrooms locally?
I think so. I'm not mistaken. The oysters do come locally.
Okay. The reason I'm asking, I was in Pennsylvania, and I went to Phillips Mushroom Farm.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to call them and ask them to send you samples. I mean, like, they had every kind of mushroom growing, every kind.
Nice. That's
that
awesome.
You would ever want.
Yeah, tell them. We're down for samples.
And I was very surprised because I figured it was going to be, well, all right, you know, those typical plain white, you know, mushrooms. But it was interesting seeing that they don't, you know, they're not really growing in dirt. It's whoa, look at this. That was very good. But I'm gonna give them a call and see if they can send it up to you, because I don't know, you know, how far they send, because I was asking them about not only like getting it in New York, but in terms of getting it in restaurants. But it would be interesting to see all the kinds of things you can make with it if you don't eat them first. I mean, like,
that would be awesome. Definitely. Okay. If they deliver here, we would love to try some of their mushrooms.
Well, I don't know that they deliver there. I'm going to ask them if they can do me a favor and do this, because I'd like to, you know, see how a fine dining restaurant, people who really know, you know, with how to make great things with their food, can, you know, can have fun with the mushrooms.
I love cooking with mushrooms. Anything with mushrooms. It's
okay.
Awesome.
Now I'll give them a call afterwards. And just so I know, I'm not going to announce it, but the number you called in on, is that the hotel number?
Yes, that is.
Okay, because then I'll call after the show is over, then I'll call you right back. Oh, look at that. The show, we were talking so long that the show, I think, ended. We're still,
oh, really?
It's all being taped, though.
Oh, nice.
I don't know what point it stopped being on the air. Not too long ago, I said, 45 minutes will be enough. And I went, oh, okay, we went over about 10 minutes. Okay, so anyhow, all right, I'll let you go.
Okay.
And then I'll call you back, and then we can discuss.
Okay. I'm actually going to be out cooking, so if you want to, just call the hotel and transfer it to the kitchen.
Okay.
Okay. And how can we listen to this? Like, is it, like, was that live or is it recorded?
It's live and recorded.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
So you can actually pull it right off, and you could put it on the website and say, you know, and link it, or you can just, whatever you want to do. It's, you know, you can upload it, download it, whatever they could, and use it.
Okay.
For your own whatever, or just have people tune in and hear the whole thing.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, we didn't get, Aria, what's your last name?
My last name is Kachalia. It's a very long last name.
Oh, okay. Because I wrote, I didn't get your last name, I went, oh. I just said Chef Ariel, I went, you know, people do everything. And just in case there's another sous chef named Ariel, you know, I want to make sure you're getting it. Okay. Well, all right, I'll speak with you later.
Okay.
And, yes, this was, I want to thank you for coming on the show and talking to us. It's, again, it's a pleasure to go to a restaurant and truly enjoy every mouthful of the food, as opposed to, like, this is a place to savor what you're eating.
Yeah.
Not because, oh, I need to grab a bite to eat. No.
Yeah, I'm so happy you experienced that. And definitely come back, and we will show you something different.
Okay, you got it. All right, take it easy. I'll talk to you later.
You too. Bye.
Oh, say goodbye to, did he go already? Did Craig go? Okay, so I guess I'll end this episode right now. Everybody have a good day, and okay.